This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Now, Melbourne in the 20s and 30s had, I think, had a bit of an underground queer scene. Wayne Murdoch is an author, and I love you. You've titled this tome, Michael, Camp Melbourne in the 1920s and 30s, Trade, Queens and Inverts, but camp with a K.
Yes, that's right. So yes, that's right.
Why with a K?
Because before the 1960s, camp with a K, often spelt with a K, was the standard Australian word for homosexual or gay.
Here was us thinking it was... I thought it was a bit of a, you know, Germanisation of it, perhaps.
No. camp with a C, which has got the very sort of flamboyant, over-the-top sort of connotation, sort of came in from the US in the 60s. So yeah. For this book, I've actually gone back to the original Australian idea of camp, meaning not square, and spelled it with a K, which, you know, was often the way it was spelt at the time in the newspapers.
I thought camp with a C was always a row of tents.
Well, yes, but no in this case. Yeah.
So what brought you to write this, Wayne? There is a paucity of history or recorded history or written history in a lot of cases, but, you know, to write something like this, obviously you have to, you know, get hold of evidence, of documents, of stories. What brought you to write the book?
Well, actually, this grew out of research that I did for a PhD at the University of Melbourne, which I finished a couple of years ago. And when I've always been interested in Australian social history and Melbourne's social history particularly. So when I actually started looking at Camp Melbourne in the 20s and 30s, which is excuse me, the period that I really am most interested in, I actually started going back through newspapers and court records, things like criminal trial briefs, evidence briefs, etc., because, of course, prior to the early 1980s decriminalisation of homosexuality, homosexual relations between men, it was actually a criminal offence. Mm. So, the court records held at the Public Records Office here in Melbourne are an amazing source of information.
So are they your main source of evidence?
Yes. And it's very interesting when you actually start looking at documents that are produced by the dominant society, and they're always... Because, you know, they're actually, they're prosecuting these guys because they've been caught in beats or whatever. And so, of course, it's written from the other side. The descriptions are always negative. The language is always negative. We're talking about, you know, criminal acts. So you have to read between the lines. And I think...
So where do you find the joyous side of camp Melbourne 20s and 30s?
Right.
The celebration of sexuality?
Well, reading between the lines, you figure if one man is caught in a beat, not everyone who's at the beat's being caught. So
yes.
Obviously,
so somebody had some fun at a beat.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of people had fun at the beat and then one guy got caught, which is the evidence that this operated as a beat at the time. Other stuff, you know, there are editorials in the tabloid newspapers, like Melbourne's infamous Truth newspaper, which, always took great delight in sort of exposing the seamy side of the city. And so they'll have exposés of fairy parties and parties of queens in flats, and flats always get a very bad reputation, a very bad rap, because they're not... white bread suburbia.
It's not where families live.
Exactly.
Nice families.
Exactly. So, you know, and certain suburbs become almost, you know, if you start talking about a flat in St Kilda, you know, the newspaper readers immediately have an idea of the sort of people you're dealing with.
Homosexuals and prostitutes and drug users.
Lots of bohemians.
Lots of occurrences of the abominable crime.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The abominable crime.
Of buggery.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, you can actually, through the joys of Trove, the National Library's Trove newspaper website, you can actually start doing just word searches on particular phrases. So, you know, filthy act or, you know, degenerate act or something
so
like
Wayne,
that.
So, Wayne, what you're saying is that it's really through reading between the lines and making assumptions that you discover that there was this whole culture that celebrated sexuality and diversity in those times. But there's no record of the fairy parties or you know, the flamboyance or the celebration that took place.
Very little, because, of course, people didn't keep records. They didn't keep stuff that could actually be used against them.
Love letters between people?
There are some, and the only ones that I've actually managed to find are actually in the evidence files at the Public Records Office.
There you go.
So, you know, there's been people, you know, there are guys there who've had a relationship for several years. And then, you know, the end of the story is
invitations to parties?
Not really, not this time. There are descriptions of parties. The Australian Gay and Lesbian Archives, who I've been involved with for many years, actually has oral history, an oral history interviewing program. And there are, you know, from those, you do get descriptions of parties and weekends away, etc.
I had a great aunt who died in 1998, and she died at, she was 96, I think.
Was she a lesbian?
She had a companion.
Oh.
In her 20s and 30s. And then that was in Hawthorne, so she was a bit upmarket, I suppose. But she moved to the country with another companion. And I remember my mother, we used to refer to her as a spinster. And my mother said, she's not a spinster, she's a lesbian.
Wayne was,
that's true.
Was living as a gay or a lesbian or a trans person fun in that time?
I think so. People always make their own fun. You know, you accept the world as it is at that particular time and you make accommodations to it. So, yes, I think people did have fun. And there are stories about, you know, people going away for weekends to holiday houses down the beach or up in the Dandenongs with groups of friends and having a great time. Mm. And also I found what really surprised me when I was writing the book was that I found that in the 20s and 30s, because of a fair degree of public naivety about the whole issue of homosexuality, both male and female, as long as you actually were discreet, you know, kept your affairs private, the police, the authorities weren't particularly interested in hunting you out. Later on, in the 50s and 60s, they became much more vigilant at sort of hunting out homosexuality and trapping men at beats and so forth, because it was seen as being a threat to the social order and you know, a security risk if they were in positions of responsibility. But in the 20s and 30s, if you had somewhere to go and you kept yourself private, you could probably actually have quite a happy life.
To stay away from the beats.
Stay away from the beats.
So what was, was there a hotel or a cafe in the 20s and 30s that, you know, we think about, you know, the Woolshed Bar at the Australia Hotel, you know, and because we're of a similar age, so we can...
Well, I don't remember those.
No, well, you're probably straight then. But,
We're talking about Wayne's book.
Yeah. Well, talking about the Woolshed Bar, which was at the Hotel Australia in Collins Street, the Hotel Australia was actually rebuilt in 1938 and basically attracted a camp crowd from day one. Mm. So it was one of the major meeting places. Obviously, there weren't gay bars, etc., businesses in the modern sense, but there were, particular cafes, particular pubs you could go to. And as long as, you know, you weren't too outrageous and too flamboyant and didn't bring the business into disrepute yes. and attract the attention of the police, as I said earlier, you could actually get away with it. But there were some, like there was Tate's Tea House, which was in the basement of the Manchester Unity building, which, you know, was there from the early 1930s. Yes. And during the day, it was a very respectable cafe where, you know, ladies who were shopping went to lunch. But on a Saturday night, it really apparently got taken over by the camp crowd. And although they weren't able to serve alcohol, people used to bring their own and sit there at the tables drinking their beer and wine and grog, etc., out of teacups, etc. And apparently, pretty much the entire cafe was completely taken over by the camp crowd. And it sat about 200 people, so it was quite big.
Awesome.
And another one on that whole cafe bar thing, in the late 1930s in Elizabeth Street, there was what was known as Camp Club, which was a cabaret upstairs above one of the cafes at the top end of Elizabeth Street. And eventually it was raided by the police because it was serving grog after alcohol after hours. So it was actually raided on a licensing technicality, yeah. not because it was actually a camp club. But when they did raid it, they found men in women's clothes. They had a cabaret floor show.
That's outrageous.
There were dressing rooms with mirrors and so forth. So yeah, it was quite a, you know, quite a good setup.
Wayne, it's great having you in the studio.
Now, where can people get the book? Can they get it online? A bookshop stocking it?
It will be coming out to bookshops very shortly. Yep. It's published by Cambridge Scholars Press in the UK. And so we're going to get it into bookshops around the place. I know that... Can I give a plug
yes.
for some?
Yes.
Better Read Than Dead, which is a brilliant bookshop up in Newtown in Sydney, already yep. has it on their website, I did notice the other day.
And in Melbourne?
In Melbourne... I'm talking with the publishers about the distribution here, so cool. It should be coming out, you know, to hopefully Hares and Hyenas readings, etc.
Great.
Fairly soon.
So in the meantime, if anybody desperately wants to get their hands on it between now and Monday, how do they do that?
They can drop me an email if they like.
Yep. Which is email address?
Yep, wpm1967@hotmail.com.
Great. Cool. wpm1967.
@hotmail.com.
Wayne, thank you very much for coming into
Fantastic.
The studio.
I can't. Well, I'm going to buy a copy. I don't take freebies because you need to make money.
thank you.
I look forward to reading it too.
I look forward to reading it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Great to see some of our history
documented
and properly recorded.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.